Hey everybody, welcome to this. Hey everybody, welcome to this. Let's do something right off the bat. I have three pieces of sort of correspondence that we need to address. Two of them from a listener, Elias, who sent in a couple things during election time that I just never got to because I was never in front of a computer. And I needed to be in front of a computer to talk about these. But it's coming. You know, it takes us a long time, but it's coming. The other one was, we had our episode where we talked a little bit about the game, like two episodes ago, me and my brother. And I received some correspondence regarding the problem with the game as a system. Because during the episode, I was saying, I'm not really sure that this is like, what's so bad about this? And, you know, based on what we were reading, it didn't seem so bad. Like, the stuff I was reading seemed more how to talk to people, but it didn't seem like you were just going to have sex with people and whatever. And even then, I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't know how... Are you tricking someone into having sex with you when you're like, do you believe witchcraft is real? Whatever that fucking... question lead-in was, or is that a trick, or is that just like how bad of a conversational gambit is that? Hold on. Hello? Hi. You're done? What's the story?
Mario.
Oh, hey Mario. How's it going?
Very good.
That's great.
Hey, I'm a thirsty. You got something to drinky?
You know I do. Hey, guess what, Mario? I got a new book out in the Kindle store.
Very good.
Yeah, it is very good. It's called Digitally Stimulated. It's a brand new venture that I'm taking on right now.
Hey, who's that behind you?
Oh, that's my brother, Ian. He helped me write it. That's a thing that brothers do sometimes.
Have you seen Luigi?
Oh, fuck Luigi, who cares? Listen, issue 1 of Digitally Stimulated is out right now, and you can get it on your Kindle, Android, or whatever device. The great thing about a Kindle book is you can read it anywhere! We talk about Gears of War 2, Legend of Zelda, Duke Nukem Forever, the Cliffhanger Game. You know you want to hear about the Cliffhanger Game.
Hey!
What?
Oh no! I'm a fallen, and I can't get up! That is my impression of American advertising. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
God, you're a real bastard, Mario.
Okay, sorry, we're back. We had to take a phone call. Dizwee, the cat, had to go to the vet today, but she's fine. Clean bill of health. And she was well-behaved. So look at that. Look at that. Look who's a cat dad raising him right. Anyway. We're talking about the game, and basically I was just saying, like, I don't know what's the deal with the game. Like, why is it as bad as we all think, or is it just we heard it was bad and now it's bad? I don't know. But it turns out the game involves this thing called negging, which is basically sort of subtly saying something bad about somebody in order to get them to like you, which, again, is not in and of itself something that I think sounds like that bad. The problem is, I guess it's very effective on people who've been abused, and that's like something that it seems... From what I heard from our listener was that, you know, this is explicit in the book. It's like, hey, do these things. They work really well on chicks who've been abused. And then they'll sleep with you, and then you can move on. So that's obviously problematic, right? What are you going to do? I've never really, like, it's weird to talk. I can't think of a show that's worse to talk about the game for two reasons. One, let's just do this as our apology here. Helpful Snowman does not endorse Sex. As a practice, as a, expelling of juices, the very idea of it I find to be offensive. I think it's wrong to endorse it in any way or to really talk about it. So let's just be clear about that right away. Not only do I not endorse pickup artists using techniques talked about in the game, I don't endorse sex. Also, I really did feel, I said this, but I really feel this way, like, when I saw what this negging thing is, I saw a short video clip that was sent to me, and it was like, a guy in a bar, and he's like, in Scandinavia. Can you say in Scandinavia? Whatever. And he said, you know, he's in Norway, let's say, and he's talking to this woman, and he's like, somehow just kind of slips in this, like, you know, I've heard that, you know, overall, like, Norwegian women aren't that good-looking or something. And he doesn't, you know, correct that. He doesn't say, like, you're obviously good-looking. He just says, like, yeah, I don't know, the women in this country aren't as good-looking as kind of the... And so, you know, therefore she's like, what the fuck, you know, but I guess if she's abused, then they go sleep together or something. And so when I saw this, I was like, oh my god, this is what my work is doing to me. My workplace is like, I don't know, you're not really worth this amount of money you're making, or like, you know, you're not da-da-da-da. And I'm like, oh my god, my workplace has read the game. They are doing the game on me. That's fucked up. But anyway, we don't endorse sex. Period. Okay? So let's just put that out there. We are not a sexy show by any stretch. But, you know, I still want to get, like, a lady to come on the show, Poon Master Flex, and try out some of these techniques, see what she thinks. See how she feels about, you know, the likelihood that she would be swooned by them. But I don't know. It's just, like, this show is so unqualified to talk about it because, like, I am not a pickup artist. Like, I think the shortest relationship I've had with somebody has been, like, 9 months or something like that. You know, probably a year-ish would be the shortest. You know, that's my one-night stand. Pete does not have a one-night stand. He has a one-year stand. It's like, can you believe this guy? He said all these nice things to me. We went out, you know, several dozen times. And over the course of about a year. And then he just up and left. Unbelievable. What a scumbag. I don't know how to solve that problem. There just needs to be some way for, like, men who want to pick up women to know, like, hey, these women are eligible for picking up, and these others are like, they're not, that's not, why are we trying to trick somebody, you know? Feel free to use whatever technique you want to pick up somebody who's looking to get picked up, I think. But, like, why are we trying to trick someone into changing their mind? And that's why I'm so unqualified to talk about this. Because if someone was like, let's go to place X and pick up women, I'd be like, what do you mean? Like, you know, it's a bar. I would be like, how am I going to pick up women in a bar? It's loud. I can't hear them. You know, I feel like my best asset is... talking ability, and that's basically out the window. So what am I going to do? This doesn't work. And then it's like, okay, let's go to a fitness class and pick up a woman, and I'll be like, too sweaty, too smelly. And it's like, okay, let's go to Borders. You just pick up an interesting looking book and then sit around and hope that a girl talks to you. And I'd be like, well, that I can do, except, you know, 5 minutes in, I'm going to be like, oh, I see the new Walking Dead trade is out, and I've stopped buying those, but still certainly enjoy reading them for free at Barnes & Noble. Let's do that. And then, you know, you have no woman is up to picking you up there. So I don't, it's like such a non-goal. I would never go somewhere that I wouldn't go otherwise for the purpose of picking up a woman. In other words, like, I went to a craft fair, oh my god, Denver flea market thing, and it was like, I would never go to something like that unless I wanted to go to that for the sake of picking up a woman. You know, I'd be like, I bet I could meet a woman there. Because you could. You could meet a lot of women there. Believe me, there were a lot of women at the Denver, whatever, handmade flea market event. Which was run like shit. And whoever ran that should be ashamed of themselves. Because, my God, what were you thinking? I wanted to talk about... Oh, should I just talk about the flea market? Because I started talking about it. So, Poonmaster Flex was like, I want to go to this thing because it seems like a good place to find, like, a Christmas present for, like, your mom and my mom. And I was like... I looked at the flyer and I was like, I agree 100%. So it's just a flea market. It's like a bunch of booths where people have their homemade, handmade goods, right? And I was like, yeah, that's... Cannot deny that that's probably a prime way to find a gift for my mom. Like, if you want to know what my mom likes, something locally made thing, you could just tell from my sigh how I feel about it. Anyway, so you had to pay. You had to pay $5 to get in, which is fine, I guess. You know, I was kind of like, could I see what's there? But you just pay $5 and you get in, right? So, it was bad from the beginning, because we get there, we get downtown in Denver. It's not even downtown, it's downtown adjacent. And, we spent 30 or 40 minutes just finding a place to park. And this is not because we were unwilling to park in a pay spot, either. Like, we looked at a couple, we went through an entire lot, you know, that was a pay lot that was full. And it wasn't close to where we were going, it was just full. Another one was closed because they're having the stupid parade last night. So they're like, oh, you know what we should close for the before the parade to stage the parade? A parking lot. Because no one's going to be parking for the parade. But anyway, it's just like you drive downtown Denver long enough looking for a spot and you're just like, this city is fucked, man. Like, I'm going to officially declare right now, like, Denver's got a lot of great shit, but it is fucked out, man. You cannot put that many people in a city and not change the way the city is set up. You cannot have a non-walkable city with that many people and that many cars in it. Like, it does not work. You can't have that large of a city without a, you know, oh, they've got a light rail. Oh, that's great. So it goes right along the I-25 corridor. Why doesn't it go through the middle of town? Every time I've seen a light rail somewhere, you know where it goes? Through town. Because that's where you need to go. It's like, oh, what a novel concept. Let's put the light rail where people are going. You know what I mean? So it goes to these places where people want to go. But, you know, they don't do that. They're just like, oh, we'll just have the light rail go, like, along the edge of town. And everyone does this, too. They're like, when you go to Denver, what you should do is park, you know, in Thornton or wherever, wherever the light rail starts, and then just ride the light rail in. And I'm like, do you know, I don't think you've ridden the light rail, because it is fucking way too expensive for that shit. Most other towns you go, you can get like a, you know, pass for the subway or the train or whatever, it's like $3. When I rode the light rail, the one time I've ridden the light rail, it was like $7 to ride the light rail, and not far, and not even for 24 hours. It was just like, it was ridiculous. And anyway, then you would take the light rail, and I'd be like, okay, so let me get this straight. I'm gonna park in this, you know, area, get on the train, ride it to another train station, and then walk probably 20 minutes from that train station to where I actually want to go. Like, that doesn't save me any time. It doesn't really save me the effort. It just changes the time and effort into a different activity, which is like, it's a preferable activity to me. But this is why no one uses it, because it's worthless. Okay? But it's just so, like, having lived in the area my whole life and going to Denver frequently, like, I go there often. I mean, it's too crowded. Like, it's overcrowded. And that's not to say, like, oh, this or that kind of person should leave or whatever. It's to say, like, you know, when you have a city that you just don't, you don't in any way try to deal with how crowded it is. It's like everything becomes expensive. And everything is inaccessible unless you are willing to, you know, leave an hour and a half before you're supposed to be at work. And work your ass off just to live. I mean, it's terrible. It's become a terrible place. I don't want people to think that I'm saying don't move to Denver because I'm like, oh, well, it's our secret, so we don't want people there. I'm saying don't move to Denver because it's over. Like, the advantage of living in a Denver, I think, was that you had kind of some of the city goodness and whatever, but you didn't have a lot of the city problems of, like, insane traffic and all that stuff. But it's there now. Like, you're fucked now. Fuck you. This is what the city is now. Anyway, so we go to this fair. And from the beginning, like, I have a problem, which is I have an inability to just go to an event and just sort of, like, line up and then go through the line and go inside. Like, I'm always just thinking, like, they should do this like this. They should do it like that, you know, which is fucking annoying because I know it's not like anyone's asking for my advice, right? But I think there are things going on here that anyone could agree were problematic. Because, first of all, you get in line. So in order to get into the line for pre-purchase tickets, you had to walk in the road because they had these gates put up, right? So if you didn't have a ticket and you were going to buy a ticket, you could walk in on the sidewalk where the gate was set up. And if you didn't, you had to walk around the sidewalk in the road, which I was like, already, no. Then you get in the line and it's like one of these corrals and shit. And you go through the corral and there's like one that's like the express line if you already bought tickets. And the other one that is the I need to buy tickets line. Now, one would think, I guess the only thing that I would assume from that is that they are two different lines, right? That when you get up to the front, there is a difference between which line you're waiting for. And that one thing was not true. Not only was the line we were in, it's not like we were in the line for already bought tickets and it was slower because it's like, I don't know, what do you want to do? But you would assume they were different lines. They just feed directly into each other. They feed into the same spot, so I was like, well, how does this help at all? And what difference does it make? Like, wouldn't it be much faster if you had the line where people needed to buy tickets and then you have your point of sale and whatever, and you could do that? Maybe you even have two there, and then the other line you just have your scanner? But whatever. And then you get this bracelet. Now, we all are familiar with the sort of club bracelet, the paper thing that they make to let you in a club slash tear out your arm hair. And this time they had this sort of drawstring. It was like a, you know, those things, those croquis you put on your glasses and then you can tighten them. Like, they're the kind that have the string that hangs down in the bottom and then you tighten it with a little bead. It was like that, except, you know, it had some kind of weird gizmo in it, so you couldn't loosen it, you know, because God forbid you take your pass to the your $5 pass to the Denver flea market thing and give it to someone else. And by the way, let's not confuse this with the Mile High flea market, okay? This is like a, well, we go inside and, like, in line, I was already disgusted because, you know, I'm listening to people behind me and it was like, oh yeah, well, we became friends on Instagram because, you know, this artist and I ran into each other a lot, but then I thought, well, if we become Instagram friends, then maybe we'll recognize each other next time, or, you know. And then somebody else was walking by, and I just heard the punchline to their joke was like, huh, you must have been a Trump voter. And then she's laughing so loud, like crazy loud laughter, as if she has just made the best joke of all time. Now, I know that my feelings on, like, Trump jokes and stuff are a little different from a lot of people's, but, like, I feel like everyone is on the same page, which is to say, like, if you just basically, if your punchline to your joke is, like, this person is dumb, must be a Trump voter, like, that's not a great joke. That's not a 10. Not a 10 out of 10. That's, like, a 4. You know, because it's like, well, I guess it follows the general structure of a joke and mentions something that's on everyone's mind. It's fairly current, but it's not like original. It's not funny. It's not very specific to what they're talking about. Anyway, this was like within 5 seconds of going in, right? And Poon Master Flex immediately turns to me and was like, oh my god. Like, as we're walking in, just the people who were around, she was like, oh, it's a lot of your kind of people here. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's just like, I don't know. It just doesn't look like it's going to be your thing. And, you know, there's a lot of, here's a question I have. Why is everyone who, I assume all these people are not janitors, why are they wearing their keys outside of their pants on a carabiner? Like, why, what's in your pocket that you can't put your keys in your pocket? Or what are your keys doing to your pocket that you're like, I can't, what's going on with that? What is this move? You know what I mean? And have they seen, anyone who does this, I want to ask if you've seen this gizmo that, like, I assume they sell at Ace Hardware or something, because janitors have this. And it's like a key ring, and your keys go on it, but then they have, like, an extendo cable. So you can, like, reach and unlock the door without unclipping your keys. But what is this? Is this a fashion thing, or is it a utility thing? I'm not necessarily criticizing it. I'm not saying, like, you owe me an explanation for the keys outside the pants. But I think it's, like, it doesn't seem practical to me. But maybe it is. Maybe I'm wrong. Is this because of skinny pants? Is that how this happened? Because it's like you can't put your keys in your pocket if you wear skinny pants. And if you're wearing, like, women's pants, I get it, because there's no fucking pockets in there, so you don't have a lot of choices, right? If you're wearing women's style pants, or I guess skinny pants, like, what choice do you have? Well, you know, this fucking guy had his keys on his belt loop on a carabiner, and he's wearing fucking cargo shorts. I'm like, your shorts are designed to carry cargo, sir. I think if you spent a little time looking around, I bet you could find a spot for those keys. I think you could. I believe in you that much. Just that much, but that much. So we get inside, and this is like, so it's a craft fair in a building, and there's multiple floors, and I'm trying to express what this was like, but you know, it's like, it's basically you're just in a long line that goes through, snakes through this building, and you can't really, like, go and look in the little booths of what's in there because it's so crowded, and, like, you can't stop, you know. Poon Master Flex was like, do you want to leave almost immediately? And I was like, you know, you just lead the way and I'll just follow you. And, like, don't stop. Don't look for me. Whatever you want to look at, go look at it and I will catch up to you, you know. Because you know how these things go. It's like you're following, walking with somebody and then they get separated and they stop and look for you. And you're like, no, you're holding up the whole thing. Like, just go and I'll catch up to you in a second. But, oh my God. Having anxiety just thinking about it. And so you're going through this thing. And it's kind of, like, frustrating, right? Because I'm like, look, we paid $5. And I'm not saying $5 is a lot. But is $5 enough that you could have, like, you could cap this? Maybe so it's, like, reasonable to look at the shit. I can't imagine the sellers there were super happy because it's, like, no one was looking at the actual shit. No one was going in the little booths because it's, like, if you go in this booth, you got to be damn sure from a pretty good distance that it's worth looking in this booth. You know, and it's like craft fair shit. So, like, okay, there's a place that has letterpress greeting cards, right? Well, I'm not going to look through a bunch of cards when I'm in this situation where I can't move 6 inches either way, you know, until the person on one side of me is finished looking at this rack of cards and then is going to move on, right? I'm going to be like, eh, no card is worth that effort. I'm willing to make that bold statement. No card is worth waiting 4 minutes for. Sorry, it's just not. It's like, well, I'll buy one from Target or make my own. Like, these are good compromises. Also, everybody, two things. I have two pieces of advice. This may be falling into Mary of America territory, but I don't fucking care. When you go to something that's this crowded, you cannot use a stroller. You cannot. It's too big. No one can get through. And here's why I think this works. Carry your baby, okay? All these studies show that it's so much better if you carry your baby than when they're in a stroller. Like, they get more stimulus, they're seeing what you're seeing, so on and so forth. They're close to you and your face, which is good for a young baby. But also, when you get tired of carrying your baby, then it's time to leave. And I think that's fine. Like, I think when you get you're like, I can only carry my baby for like a half hour. It's like, guess what? Your baby doesn't want to hang out in there for 2 hours anyway. Okay? You cannot push a stroller through something where it's too tight for most people to walk. It's just too much. Also, however, people bring in their fucking dogs to that. You're in this super crowded space. It is nuts in there. And there's a dog in there. You know, multiple people I saw, and they had their dog on a leash, and their dog's just kind of walking around, doesn't know where the fuck it's going. And you're just like, did your dog need to come to this? Why did you think that, A, it would be a good idea, and B, necessary enough that you're like, you know what, my dog is going to have such a good time at this that I'm willing to ruin the time of others. All right? What the fuck with bringing your dog to a craft fair? Whoa. Nothing a dog loves more than a good craft fair. Walking around. A dog really loves a handmade cutting board for $90. This is something I don't understand about, like, craft fairs. Okay. Make a beautiful cutting board. That's great. It probably takes you a long time. The materials are probably not cheap. You know, it's a skill. Do I think... How do you convince somebody to pay, like, $90 for that? I mean, if I saw that same crafts or the same cutting board, you know, at a store, it would be like $40, $50, right? And I guess there are people out there who are just willing to pay more for that stuff. But I'm just kind of like, I'm willing to pay more for a nice, you know, one-of-a-kind item that's made with care. I don't know if I'm willing to pay double. I mean, if I had one person I was buying Christmas presents for, I guess I'd be fine. But, like, you gotta buy Christmas presents for, like, a dozen people? What? How? How does the margin work on that? How many of those do you have to sell to support yourself? I mean, I guess I'd have to sell one a day, two a day, probably, to support a life. So maybe it's not that, I mean, maybe it's not that hard. Well, you know, if it's, how long is it taking you? How many can you make? I just don't understand at all. I don't understand why this is like this. I don't understand, like, you know, the bookstore where I volunteer, they sell cards, and some of the cards are like $7. And I understand they're like unique items, they're letter pressed and so on, and they're cool. I like them. They're nice. I don't think they're $7 nice. Like, I think if someone told me they bought me that card, you know, and they put it on a present, and then I open the card, and I'm like, that's great. And they're like, that card costs $7. I'd be like, well, thank you, and also, I think you made a mistake. You know that guilty feeling you have when you're like, geez, you overspent on this gift. This is too generous. Except it's not even like, this is too generous. It's like, you kind of went down a dumb path. I think you made a mistake. That, you know, I don't know what about me indicated to you that you should do this, but there we are. So we're in there, and it's just like, you know what it's like? It's like being a human centipede, except you're the head. But, you know, you're like, it's like playing Snake on your phone. It's a human centipede Snake on your phone, because you just, like, keep biting your own tail, and you're just surrounded by yourself. You know, like, if you've ever seen a thing of baby snakes, and they're just kind of this, like, ball of snakes, or it feels like everyone's a rat king. You know what a rat king is, where it's like a bunch of rats and their tails get all tangled and tied together, so they're just kind of this ball of rat that runs around, which I think this is like a mythical urban beast. Because I think most rats would probably, like, lose their tails and then escape from this nightmare, this waking nightmare. But I felt like I was a human rat king. Like, it was almost like you get in there and they're like, oh, here's your strap to tie yourself to five other people, and then you can walk around the floor at someone else's leisure. Even on the sidewalk outside as we're walking in, it was like these people were walking slow as shit for no reason. They were young. They could walk faster. Like, they would walk faster briefly and then just be talking, and they were walking so slow. And I was like, do you not realize that there's an entire like mob behind you stacking up because you're walking so fucking slow. I mean, come on. Come on, guys. So I guess that's the lesson we've learned today is fuck Denver Flea. Fuck that shit. You know, you guys need to get your shit together. You need to figure out how much you're charging and what it's for. And you need to also, you know, just sell the tickets for a certain time frame. You know what I mean? Set up 4 time frames of 2 hours each and then let people, you know, buy the ticket for their time frame. Because that way it's not just fucking craziness. I mean, we would have probably bought things. I think we would have bought some stuff, but we didn't buy anything because it's too nightmarish to walk through there. And I'm sure we're not alone. I know we're not because I talked to someone else who told me the same thing, unbidden. I didn't share my experience until she had shared hers. So there you go. All right, guys. This is a shorter one, but I don't know, fuck yourself. We'll see you next time.